meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline. Coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Tonight, our guest, Jack Osborne. Jack, of the Osbournes, of which I believe I saw every episode of that show on MTV last year. And, of course, you're doing a second season. And tell us about that. Started already?
Yeah, you know, I think like 2 weeks ago we officially started. Mm-hmm. So
officially started filming?
Yeah, officially started filming again. Whatever, you know.
Do you like it?
I don't love it, but then again, you know.
You know, we have people on here from like Survivor and shows like that, and they say they just get butchered in the editing. Is this a pretty good depiction of you? Is it fair?
Sometimes, and then sometimes not.
Right.
Like, you know, they made me out to be like a savage brother who goes around beating his sister, which, I mean, I never really touch her, so.
Right. But I mean, overall, is it fair? I mean, some good, some bad?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it's about, you know, 80% fair, and there's that, you know, 20% where it's, you know, a little bit sketchy, so.
Do you watch it, or does it bother you?
I don't sit down, you know, on Tuesday at 10:30, you know, ready with a bowl of popcorn, but, you know, I watch it when they're editing it, just because we have saying what can stay in and what can't.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Because I don't think they would give that to the kids from
Real World
or Road Rules or anything like that.
No, I don't think so.
They give them, normally MTV just throws you one of those little mini packs of and beats the F out of you. Drew, remember one time you raised your hand when we were filming Loveline and an MTV executive just gave you a wedgie.
A wedgie, and then he threw one of those sandbags at me.
Right, he just dropped it from above you. But I love this show, and I guess everyone else does, too. And we had your folks on this show, I guess, 8-10 months ago when they filmed that for this and this for that and whatever it was, and was glad to see us on it. And they're here again tonight, so maybe we'll see us on the Osbournes again, or maybe I'll see us, Drew, because you don't watch TV. And how's your mom's health?
Mom is actually doing really well right now.
She is?
Yeah, she's, you know.
Now, is that going to all be included in the upcoming season? Are you going to?
I believe so. You know, I think Mom kind of wanted to really make people it and kind of, you know, not be embarrassed or something and whatever, you know.
How are you feeling about it?
I don't know. I'm a person where if you tell me some bad news, I'll always assume that it's like the smallest amount of badness.
So you'll look at the bright side.
Yeah, I always looked at the bright side. So when she told me, I was just like, well, it can't be that bad. And then, you know, lo and behold, it wasn't, so.
It wasn't as bad as people thought initially.
You know, like, on CNN, you know, they'll say, you know, Sharon Osbourne's got a week to live with, you know, terminal colon cancer and all
that.
Drew
gave her 10 days. I told him no. No, but doing better.
She's, you know, fine.
Good. Well, good.
How long is she going to take chemo for?
She's doing 6 of chemo over 9 months. Mm-hmm. So, you know, because sometimes, you know, some weeks they may have to skip due to.
She had a big surgery, too. I mean, they have to take out that piece of the colon, dissect the lymph nodes, and.
What do you mean? What do they do with the lymph nodes?
Take them all out and find out where the cancer is.
And then what? They put them back?
No, they take them out. If you find cancer in it, that means the cancer is outside the colon and spreading, so you got to take chemo then.
All right. Yeah, we get it. You're a doctor. Big deal. All right. Jack, you all right? You got anything you want to say?
Yeah, I'm
take some calls?
Sure.
All right. Merrick.
Hi.
You're 18?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My question is, I lost my virginity when I was really young, when I was 12, and it was with a guy.
You're gay.
Yeah.
Yes, we know that, Drew.
But that's not losing one's virginity. That's being sexually abused.
Well,
how old was the guy?
21 or 22.
With a 12-year-old, okay.
Oh, all right.
Huh?
And when you say lost your virginity as a gay male, that's breaking the behymen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay. And who was this guy?
It was just a friend of my best friend.
All right.
Your best friend was a 21-year-old?
No, actually, he was about 25 then.
You were 12, and your best friend was 25.
Yeah, but this was a friend of his.
I understand he had a friend. That's not the bizarre part. The bizarre part is a 12-year-old hanging out with a 25-year-old and considering him his best friend.
But Jack's 16 and probably hangs out with a lot of guys in their 40s.
Be fair.
Yeah.
It's actually different than a 12-year-old with a 25-year-old.
I wouldn't refer them as best friends. I would like kind of a brotherly figure.
Yeah, that's weird.
Where were your parents?
Oh, well, my mom and dad are divorced, but I live with my mom.
About at 12, who were you living with?
My mom.
And didn't she think it was bizarre you were hanging out with 25-year-olds?
Oh, no. He was my best friend when I was 8 and he was 16.
How did he go from 16 to 25 in four years?
How did he gain 5 years there?
Well, that's when we met.
All right. Now, listen, let me ask you a quick question, Drew. And I don't mean this to be offensive to the gays, but as we all know, women can't do math. And as we all know, gay men sort of become women. Do they lose their ability to do math? That's a very provocative question.
Yeah. Should look into that one.
Yeah, Drew, look into that, would you?
Immediately.
Get back to me. Get Charles Nelson Reilly's publicist on the phone, and let's give him some simple math questions and get to the bottom of this thing. Merrick?
Yeah.
Okay, so, Drew, let's get over all this stuff.
All right, so what's the question? Let's get to the question.
Well, I was going to ask Dr. Drew if it would have any psychological effects on me that, you know, subconsciously that I might not know about.
Yeah, profound. You were sexually abused. That's a trauma, and you're a trauma survivor, and that very much affects brain function, self function, emotional experiences, your ability to regulate your emotions, all affected by that kind of trauma.
Really?
Your sexual orientation sometimes gets affected by it.
Well, so, I haven't been diagnosed with it, but I have some sort of a social anxiety disorder.
Okay, no surprise.
All right, so let's ramp him up. And
the answer is you could use some help. If you want to look at the social anxiety symptoms, that's a good place to start.
Okay.
All right, Mary.
Having been abused by a 21-year-old at the age of 12 is a significant issue. And having a mother that saw no problem with you hanging out with 25-year-olds at 12, significant issue. And I would imagine you'd have some anxiety at your age.
All right, Merrick.
Take care of yourself, all right?
Thanks.
All right. Hey, good times, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
How do you know if you're gay at 12? That's the thing. Like, how does you know he's actually gay? And if
you
just...
You don't. You can have a sense of that. I mean, some people...
Well, there's a guy resting his yoo-hoo on the small of your back. That means you're gay when you're 12.
You're engaging in a gay act. Doesn't necessarily mean you're gay at the time.
Well, aren't you just sort of defined by your acts?
But as a child, you're sort of exploited by
guys
adults.
You got a blow before you're gay, Drew. That's what I'm saying.
You're exploited by adults, and that sort of can wire you a certain way.
Okay. Yeah, see, it's an interesting question. Young Jack. You see, Jack, Jack's only 16, but I think of him as like a veteran of many sitcoms. I grew up watching this dude on TV. Signed my shoe. Yeah. But Jack does seem much... Jack is essentially not 16 years old. I mean, the guy's running a business.
But he's
going to work.
Give him a break. He's 16 also.
Yeah, you know.
Homeschooling.
I still play with toy trucks.
Homeschooling? Are you doing homeschooling now?
I was.
You're going to like a peppy school.
He's doing no schooling, I understand. And I wanted you to talk with him about this because Adam missed school too.
His parents, look at me now.
I'm
a millionaire.
But
literally.
But
Adam,
and
a millionaire.
Look at me now.
Yeah,
a millionaire.
But Jack, look, but he's got some misgivings, some resentments that you weren't given schooling at
critical. I just wish I'd learned to read.
Right. Maybe stuff. My question is, do you think Jack should keep going, not forget about school, or might he have misgivings later?
Well, look, he's set up. My dad couldn't afford to buy me a goddamn moped, for Christ's sake. His dad's got millions of dollars. He's good. He's in good shape. So what? What's he need to learn to read for? He just needs to learn to read that bank statement. That's all he needs to learn to read. You're fine.
Well, you know, I did kind of, I spoke to some friends a couple weeks ago, and I was like, you know, should I come back to school? And I'd already got held back a year because when I moved to the country, they wouldn't give me credit for the beginning of the year because I came in like half a year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be like held back 2 years. So I'd graduate high school at 20. So I just figure I'm gonna take my GED, and then, you know, after the show and
you should do what Adam did and major in ceramics. that's what you should.
I had to declare a major.
You should. I mean, that's a great way to get through high school.
It's only class I wasn't failing. But you can read, right?
I can read. I can all do right. that.
You went to British school for 12 years.
Oh, then you're smarter than one of our professors.
Yeah, I can fly a plane right now. So.
Yeah, he's in good shape. He's got enough education. Mike?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yes.
You got a question about smoking pot?
Yeah,
Not a virgin.
No. Go ahead.
All right, I smoke cigarettes, and when I smoke weed, I find myself getting, like, more addicted to pot, or more addicted to cigarettes.
Can you tell me why or what you experience?
Well, he just wants to smoke more, right?
Yeah.
So you just get an urge to put things in your mouth more, right?
No, I mean, it's not like munchies or anything. It's just I need a cigarette, like, after I smoke weed.
Yeah, all right. And when you drink, you want to smoke more, too.
Oh, really? Yeah, I don't drink. So.
Well, one of the things that people learn to do with cigarettes is sort of use the nicotine as an antidepressant. And I'm wondering if you're sort of modulating...
Well, that's why I started.
Smoking cigarettes?
Yeah.
Yeah, and pot can be a depressant for some people, especially if you smoke a lot of it regularly. Oh. You'll start to get depressed.
Listen, no. Here's what happens when you're stoned.
No.
Look, when you're stoned, if you sit for 40 seconds without doing something, putting something in your mouth, sucking on something, unwrapping something, lighting something, chewing on something, it's an eternity.
Jack's stoned right
you
now.
Cannot,
he's not doing anything.
Jack's fine.
He's fine. He's sitting there calmly. He's fine.
Jack, how dare you? He's climbing the walls. No.
How dare you? He's not stoned.
No, he's baked off his ass, but he's going insane. He just can do what we call maintaining, Drew. Mm-hmm. You got to learn to maintain.
Oh, yeah.
No, when you're stoned, you smoke more, you eat more, you do everything more. I mean, that has to do with putting stuff in your mouth and sucking.
Right. Now let Mike address this.
Hurry.
Now, Mike, you said you originally started smoking cigarettes to help regulate your mood?
Yes.
Are you noticing you're getting a little more depressed when you smoke pot?
No, man. I get happy when I smoke pot.
Get happy. So how about when you come down later?
Not really.
All right. Well, Adam's right.
All right, then.
One more thing.
Is that really? Are you really asking that question at age 19?
Yeah.
And it's not a bogus question?
No, it is.
All right. And you don't drink, huh?
No, I don't. I drink, occasionally. I have a hard lemonade or something, but I don't drink a lot.
How often do you smoke pot?
Really? What has my life become? I'm yelling at 19-year-olds for not drinking.
How often
pussy!
How often do you smoke
hard
pot?
Hard lemonade? Oh, boy!
Do you have some Zima with that?
Yeah!
How often do you smoke a pot, Mike?
About that spider speech that you did last night.
Spider speech?
Yeah, Adam was talking
about. All right,
about.
Listen, he's too tangential. I can't hang with him. Jesus. All I was saying last night is I wanted to mate the pig and the cow to create the pow, to create the world's greatest rib.
Yeah.
Because
big pork ribs.
As I was explaining to Jack before the show, I ate ribs today. I ate beef and pork ribs. The beef's nice. They're big. But the pork ribs are very succulent,
taste.
Very flavorful.
Yes.
Have you ever had the McRib?
No, I've never had the McRib.
You know what? It's surprisingly good.
It comes from
good.
The pow.
Really?
It basically, I'm convinced it's pow because it's shaped like a rack of ribs, but there's no bone in it.
Right.
And it's really, really good.
I have like a I don't mind when they take Jell-O and put it into a shape. Like a turtle or something, but when they take meat and put it in the shape of other meat, I have difficulty with that.
It's bizarre.
It's bizarre. Yeah, it's weird.
I need to think I'm eating a rack of ribs?
Fish sticks that look like whole fish? You know what I mean? Yeah. It's a little weird. This is why I can't buy meat from a Mexican butcher, because the butchers
they have to display the wares.
They got Mr. Cow, and he's chasing Mrs. Pig with an axe. They have drawings on this stuff. Chickens are talking and stuff. They're very into this in Mexico. I don't like that. See, we name our meat. You know, the reason we call pig pork is so we don't have to think of the pig part. But the McRib... I'm going to try this.
You know, actually, the reason why we call pig pork is back to old English times.
Oh,
keep going.
Oh.
No, I know this is what I learned in English school.
Yes.
It was common to call inside a house when a pig carcass was inside a house. It was proper. You had to call it pork from then.
When it went in.
Yeah, when it was inside a house, it became a pork.
So if you slaughtered a pig outside a house, it was a pig until it went across
because
the threshold.
Because it was too common. It had to be, because it was such a dirty animal, it had to, you know, be like a proper name.
I see.
Once it entered a household, so that's
why the word derived from something?
I don't know. I just, that's all I can remember my teacher yelling at me for.
Jeez, the guy's going for his GED. Quit busting his balls here, Drew. That's pretty good. All right.
By Corolla standards, it's a sheer genius.
Yeah. All right. So when it comes to the house, it's pork. And when you shape it like a McRib, it's crap. Vanessa?
Hi.
You're 15?
Yeah. I just wanted to ask Jack if right now, if he's hanging on, if he's, like, with his mom or his dad, or if he's been hanging on, like, the Ozfest tour.
I am actually with my mother.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I kind of, you know, I thought it'd just be inappropriate if I was out there doing beer bongs right now, and, you know. So, you know, no, I'm staying with my mom right now.
How's your sister? Is she, like, recording?
Yeah, she's actually doing that rock star thing.
Yeah, what is she doing? She did the Madonna song. Was that a single? That wasn't
it was a single. It was a single for the soundtrack. And then, you know, Tommy Mottola took it from there and she's recording an album. She's got, like, 5 more days. I think it's done.
Now, is she a few months older than you, or a few months?
She's a year older.
A year older?
Yeah, a year and 10 days.
And there's Amy, too, right?
Yeah.
And she's 3 years older?
2 years older.
Than you?
Yeah.
Oh, so is Amy the one that didn't want to be on the show? Mm-hmm. And does she want to be on the show now, or is she still standing by her guns?
She's still in a cape somewhere in a, you know, dark room.
And she's like the Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, basically.
She lives up in the attic and sweeps down with the candelabra.
Todd Gold is here tonight, wrote the Osborne book that's coming out. It's called her, like, Marilyn on the Munsters. She's the straight one.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's funny. And so she's sort of normal. She lives in the house.
She lives in an apartment, like, 5-10 minutes away.
Oh, okay. But she's, 19 or 20?
She's going to be 19 September.
Oh, okay.
What's she doing now?
I believe she was going to do some jewelry thing, and then she's trying to do a music career before Kelly, and when Kelly got hers, kind of got discouraged, you know, kind of didn't do it for a while, but now she's starting to pick it up again, so.
Do you think there's any feeling with her, like, hey, geez, maybe if I got this exposure that Kelly got, I could
get
the music career going?
She's in the, you know, the mindset of people respect it more if I'm completely independent of, because she's into more of that.
That theory is great if it works out. But my plan guarantees some success, even if it's kissing the man's ass.
Your deal is jump on a coattail. Fast.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. That whole, I want to make it on my own, I don't need any help from anybody, screw nepotism, changing my last name and all that stuff, that's all great, except for it's probably not going to work out.
Well, the problem is you're always complaining about never having had any opportunity for nepotism. Your family.
Oh, boy. Right? I'll tell you. I always want to kick my dad in the nuts for something new?
Here we go.
He's really getting it now.
There should have been the Corollas. In 1965, camera following you guys around would have made perfect sense then.
Oh, but yeah.
Didn't they actually do a reality show back in, was it in the 70s they did one?
Yeah.
Like, on what?
On some family.
Yeah.
They did a documentary.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, what?
And then, like, one of them.
Albert Brooks, like, spoofed it later on or something, like 10 years later.
Yeah, it never really caught on.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't supposed to catch on. It wasn't like a series.
It was like a documentary.
Yeah.
Something happened. Yeah. Crazy. How do we get back to the pork thing? You know, the British, back in those days, had all sorts of eponyms, you know what I mean?
No.
Like,
what's an eponym?
F-U.
Oh, really?
Was, yeah.
You know, under command of the king. I wonder if the pork was something to do with the king.
Ah.
Pig on reserve for the king or something?
There you go.
Oh, you mean like an acronym?
Acronym, I bet you're
playing. Yeah.
Are you kidding me? GED over here is correcting you with the acronym and the eponym? Eponym is what happened at the end of a Quinn Martin production.
Whatever.
Oh, what was that called? Oh, Drew, what was that called? I'll get that. Kelly.
Yeah.
You're 17.
Yeah.
Wow. Kelly, you're 17. No, it's epilogue. Thank you. Go ahead, Kelly.
All right, well, my question is, there's this guy that I know, and he was my ex-boyfriend. And I've known him for 3 years now, and he used to have a girlfriend, and he cheated on her with me, and we had sex, like, 6 times, and he recently broke up with her now, and he told me he was going to ask me out, like, after, or I think while it was...
It's a mess out there, Jack.
Jack, straighten this girl out.
He told me he was going to ask me out.
That's before he slept with her. Or just as he was getting ready.
Like, when?
Yeah, as he slept with her.
Yeah, and then he told me he was going to. And
you've learned a valuable lesson about men, I hope.
Mm-hmm. And see, he's 16.
Yeah, but I know he's 16, but he's still male.
Yeah.
And he is not going to ask you out.
No, I mean, he's single now.
Yeah, but he's not going to ask you out.
Mm-mm, and he's, like, messing with my friend right now, so.
But he's an idiot.
Yeah.
But would you want to date a guy who just cheats anyway? Because wouldn't he just end up cheating on you because he did on his girlfriend?
Yeah, but...
And he told you anything you wanted to hear in order to get laid.
Did he buy you flowers at least?
No.
No.
A dress?
No.
No, ditch him.
Yeah. How about some pork? No? Not even a
no, he gave her the pork.
That was his line.
McRib?
What's that?
I still like him, though, a lot.
I know, I know.
He's an idiot. He's not into you. He just was telling you anything you wanted to hear to have sex.
There's something so alluring about a sort of a bad boy, a guy who doesn't care.
Yeah, but she doesn't really, she's not willing to believe that this is the case. She does not, she rejects that.
Well, you know what it is, I think, with, let me float this theory, young girls. Maybe we can help Jack here, you know, he's 16, help him with the dating. Young girls think that their will can
prevail
yeah. over anything, which
is... Well, especially a man.
Yeah, right. But, I mean, women at 15, 16, 17 think they're going to marry David Hasselhoff if they focus on it hard enough. Mm-hmm. Or whoever the hell they're watching on some Aaron Spelling show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if they can think that, or if they can actually... it's weird because guys, it's either reality or it isn't for the most part.
No, guys get that obsessive
stuff. Okay, guys
stuff
are stupid.
Yeah.
Don't crap on my point with the camera here, Drew. Come on.
It's my
Jesus
favorite time
Christ.
To crap on your point.
Well, okay.
When
all right.
Better.
You're right. You're right. Guys are delusional too, but women have a sort of a gray area. Here's what I'm saying. You can have sex with a woman. She can enjoy it and not have an orgasm, right?
Right.
She can just sort of enjoy the experience. A woman can sort of enjoy a relationship from afar in a way, even almost be in it a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
She can want it enough for both of them.
Yeah.
And her thing is like, hey, I'm into this guy, so I'm into him.
I think one of the things...
So something's going
to
happen.
The culture does teach women, though, is that all they have to figure out is how to make him happy, how to get him, and how to keep him. Which
right.
none of those things ever actually happen.
No.
They don't exist.
Right.
Because that kind of thing could happen to a woman. A man could sort of win over a woman.
Yes.
You can't do that to a male.
That's right. That is an excellent point. Guys are either into you
or not.
They're not.
You ain't winning one over.
Well, they're into you until they get you, and then you... Then
right.
Like,
whatever it is,
there's
nothing. There's no getting, keeping,
but
winning.
It,
that
yes.
doesn't exist for men.
We are like the Olympic trials. It doesn't matter if your dad's the coach, you know. It doesn't matter who you know or what your sweatpants look like. It's like you either win or you don't. We'll cut you off the team. And... Since when, like, oh, it's a chick, you're not attracted to her, you didn't like her, she got a fat ass. Uh-oh, but she cooked you a souffle and it was excellent. Now you're in love. Nope, now she's just your souffle mule. She brings over the souffles and you think about other women. Women don't win guys over, especially young guys.
Never.
No. A guy can win a chick over.
Yes
Drew is right. All right. Jack, see, you can win women over.
You know, my, you know, dashing looks and the accent just really works.
Yeah. Well, you know what you got, though? You got your own look, which is better than dashing at times.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, whereas Drew is a nice-looking guy, but it's sort of...
Generic.
Generic. What I would call oatmeal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With no raisins.
Not distinguished enough.
No raisins, no walnuts, and no brown sugar. Just mush.
What about you, Adam? What's your look?
I got the...
I got the McRib.
I got the McRib look because I'm kind of saucy and tangy.
Yikes.
And I'm cheap.
Like the McRib.
Yes, and I'm high calorie,
and
too.
And the meat they're trying to shape into something.
That's right.
That looks desirable.
All right, we'll take a little break. Jack Osborne's our guest tonight, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's the Love Line. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Jack Osborne is our guest tonight, of course, from the Osbornes. And what a hit. Spawning many copycat shows. The Anna Nicole Smith show, and Drew didn't hear
about
that.
It,
Here's the problem. I love Anna Nicole Smith because she has huge jugs and she's like insane. But
yeah. No, she hasn't got huge jugs. She's just huge now.
She's huge, right.
She's like Andre the Giant, but femme.
Bonesy. And just crazy. Just insane. You know, here's the problem, I think, and here's the difference between the Osbornes and a lot of these other shows, or the shows that they're attempting to do, which is, if you are like Gene Simmons from Kiss, and you go to a network and suggest they do a show about you, you're out. It's a catch-22.
Somebody has to do it for you?
No. You idiot, would you listen to me?
I'm listening.
What about my inflection and the point I'm trying to make here, which is this show is not going to work for anybody whose idea it is to do a show about them.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
You need insane people. I mean, sorry, Jack, not you, but...
clearly, you do need insane people.
Yeah, but if you're Gene Simmons and you say, hey, I got a great idea, how about you put a camera in my house? Now it's not going
to
work.
I'm sorry, just because, you know what you need? You need humility. So anybody who wants to be on the camera
but
can't be on the camera, because that won't work.
Well, still what I'm saying.
Also that, you need something you can relate to. How can you guys relate to Anna Nicole Smith?
Oh, well.
Well, Ozzy Osbourne is not exactly America's dad.
But I know, but you can relate to family issues and crap. You know?
Yes, that's true.
And
That's what's interesting, is in spite of it being Ozzy Osbourne, you can relate to his issues being a father.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the charm of this.
Yes, absolutely.
But can you relate to, you know, Anna Nicole Smith going shopping for underwear? No.
No.
But if she were a grandmother or something, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's
like having a cartoon character be the grandmother at that point.
She does have like a 15-year-old son.
She does?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, see, now I'm interested.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Yes.
For the 15-year-old son.
Yeah.
Mullet Nicole Smith is his name.
Here's the show. No. Jack and Mullet.
this kid.
I know, celebrity boxing right there.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine if your mom is Anna Nicole Smith? I'd hire a drifter to kill her and just get some of that old man's money. What a mess. All right. Anyway, let's hop back to phones. Question for Jack from Casey, who's 14. Jack?
Yes. Oh, my God. God.
I mean, KC, question for Jack. Go ahead.
Am I on?
Yeah, just turn your radio off.
Oh, my
off.
God.
Turn your radio off.
Radio, hold on. Can you hold on for a minute, please?
Yeah.
It sets a dangerous precedent to actually hold on when they tell me to hold on.
Yeah.
He's like Dr. Evil with the buttons.
This is the interesting part. How long is he actually going to have us hold on? He's very excited to talk to Jack.
He's an idiot.
Is he running up? There we go.
Right. Hello.
There you go.
Okay, Jack, what game are you always playing on the Osbournes?
Video game.
Yeah, what was it? Team Fortress? I don't know.
It's like 8 months ago,
right? It was Half-Life Team Fortress.
That's awesome. And Adam, I gotta say one thing. I live my life one stroke at a time.
All right, thanks, buddy.
Thanks.
No, I wasn't Drew's pagers going off. He's referring to the Vin Diesel line that I was making fun of from The Fast and the Furious, where he explained to his bitch that he lived his life a quarter mile at a time. I love that kind of movie dialogue. You see The Fast and the Furious, Jim?
I missed that one. I heard it was great.
You're in the Austin Powers movie, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the funny thing is about that, before we started filming for the show, I auditioned for a part in Austin Powers.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah, and I came really close to getting it.
Which part?
I haven't seen it yet. I don't know, is young Dr. Evil in Austin Powers in the new one?
Oh, it's Sean Green.
Well, did you see
the
second one, Seth Green?
Seth Green, I believe.
Did you see the third one?
Yeah.
Was it good?
Yeah. Is it like a young Dr. Evil, like they go back in time?
Oh, yes. No, yes, absolutely. You would be good for that.
I was going to be young Dr. Evil.
They go back to a British boys' day school, and it's young everybody. Young number two, young Dr. Eagle,
I'm just reading here that Jack's on an episode of Dawson's Creek. Is that aired yet?
No, I'm actually going to film it in a week.
Are you asked a lot now to be playing Jack, or are you not playing Jack Osbourne on that?
It's kind of, I'm playing Jack, but not cheesy, like, wow, look, there's Jack Osbourne. It's going to be kind of written into where I'm a friend of a character's in the show.
Mm. Right.
So it's going to be kind of like, whatever.
Are you getting a lot of offers?
I'm getting a lot of movie scripts sent to me. It's like being filmed, yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, man, I used to do a lot of theater when I was younger. So. Right.
So, I mean, it's kind of nice because you would expect a lot of that come here and be Jack Osbourne. But having movie scripts, obviously, they're not asking you to be Jack Osbourne.
I mean, yeah.
I ironically read for Jack Osbourne.
Oh, you did?
In a movie.
Didn't come close.
No, but I could do that with my hair, I was explaining to the producers. I just need a couple of weeks. Matt?
Yeah, what's up?
You're 14?
15.
15. You've been on hold for a while. What's up?
Yeah, about
On Sunday, I overdosed on methamphetamine. I overamped and went crazy and had to go to the hospital.
What do you mean went crazy? What happened?
Well, I was feeling good for an hour, and I came home, and I pretty much lost the ability to talk and move, and I was throwing up all over myself, and parents told me about 8 hours later.
And were you doing ecstasy also?
No, just
speed.
A lot of meth.
And did you vomit a bunch before you became paralyzed?
Yeah, projectile vomited, and then I walked home and just kind of spaced out for a long time.
All right.
So 8 hours later, you're still spazzing out?
I don't have a lot of memory of it.
But your parents took you to the hospital 8 hours later, right?
Right.
Just a question. Why the hell are you doing speed at 15?
I have no clue. I don't even remember what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's pretty hardcore right there.
I would imagine speed isn't the only drug you're doing, though, right?
Well, I'm done with everything now, but I've done dextromethorphan and coke and weed, a lot of weed. And I think that's it.
Well, the deal with weed is, even at your age, it you know, when it becomes addictive, which it is in a certain percentage of people, you'll use it every day, you'll use it a lot, it'll work for you, and then it will stop.
Yeah.
And then you'll start getting depressed, and then you'll start smoking more, and then you get more depressed. And that's when people usually graduate to speed or other things to try to manage that depression. Right. Is that what happened with you?
No, that actually pretty much makes me euphoric pretty much 24/7. I never
Pot still
get
does.
Depressed at all.
Pot still does.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, hey, Matt.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. Your name is Matt. You're from Arizona. You're ODing on the meth at 15. It's not looking good for you.
Yeah.
In the big picture, what's your dad do?
He's a counselor.
Oh.
That's ironic.
Maybe you should get his card, you know?
Do
you have his home number?
Yeah.
Ring him up over the weekend.
Drug and alcohol counselor? What kind of counselor?
School counselor.
School counselor. Yeah.
Even worse. All right, so Matt, you're not going to be able to rely. Like I gave the speech to young Jack, do whatever you want. Forget about reading. Forget about math. You're an Osborne. You're set up. You're fine. I know you want to forge your own way, Jack, and everything, but if it doesn't work out, hey, so what? Matt, you don't have that luxury, buddy.
Right.
So you better get off the drugs and start flying right a little bit, all right?
Right.
Don't scramble your brain. Don't get all screwed. You're driving a forklift for a living when you're done with this. Do you understand?
One thing that happens with all this pot and speed at your age is it can create chronic, significant depressions and actually delay prevent your emotional development.
Let me explain life to all you kids. Jack, you may want to listen to this, too.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
It just occurred to me that your life is like, it's like a camping trip. And you need to spend a few years, maybe 13 through 18, sort of packing the right stuff. Now, all of my friends spent those years just peeing on each other.
Yeah.
And eating cereal with their hands out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
And then, eventually, when everyone turned 18 and we went camping, everyone else had a mummy bag and cans of food and provisions and can openers. And my friends had, like, a road flare, a butt plug, and like, a racing form. And they were using a tarp to sleep under and had to immediately
taking notes. A road flare, a butt plug, and a racing form.
That's all they took.
That's
all they had.
And they died of exposure.
Yes, they're dying of exposure now. And everyone else had their little cook stoves, and they're heating up their beans, and they had their little shelters, and it started to rain, and they pulled out their rain ponchos. And my friends were, like, holding the racing form over their head when it started to rain. And then they would go to the other guys and beg them, please, give me some of your food. This is what life is like, and this is why you must pack for this camping trip, this metaphorical camping trip, from like 14, 15, 16, 17. You got to stay in school. You got to get your grades going. You got to figure out something. You don't have to go to college, but you should figure out what you want to do. Don't just take drugs and screw around. You'll be screwed. You see those guys who are working at the fast food places? They're in their 30s. That's what they did. They were my friends. I didn't plan for the camping trip. Drew, you plan for your camping trip, right?
You bet.
You're still planning. Oh, that's the thing.
I don't have to bring out the butt plug.
No.
You keep it packed away.
Where's it packed?
Oh,
I'll tell you, I got a million. All right, let's take a little break.
All right.
You're kidding around about the butt plug, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Jack Osborne's our guest, and thank you. We'll be right back. Line. phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Jack Osborne is our guest tonight from the Osbournes, which they're currently filming. And when I say currently, I mean this second.
At this moment.
That's right. Maybe we'll make the cut again. And when does it hit the air? When does the new season hit the air?
I believe second week of October. I think that's the working date.
Did they, once it was clear that it was such a hit, did they push that up? Did they hurry it up?
You know what? It actually, we're kind of behind on schedule with the shooting. We were just kind of procrastinating with everything because, you know.
Because your mom thing?
Yeah, because of mom thing, because, you know, we're touring. They usually, they don't like to film when we're not in the house because, you know, they have to set either sound, the quality when we're in the house is better because of lighting and such, so.
Right.
And tour, and the tour was going on, so.
Struck me, Jack, 16 years old, seems like he's been in the record business for about 30 years.
Old soul.
Old soul, yeah, which is nice. But it struck me, remember that, it's funny, it's not now that everyone knows who you are, obviously, I mean, knows what you look like and stuff. When you go into a club to look at a band or something, I imagine there's some ass-kissing going on there, right?
There is, but I kind of, you know, I hate to say this, but I'm kind of, you know, I know people kiss my ass. I'm not exactly the nicest to them. Hmm. I keep things simple, eye contact minimal, stay kind of, you know.
See, I like it when people kiss my ass, even when I know it. I like the notion that someone is kissing my ass to give them extra points.
See, but the cool thing is, but you know, with you, you kind of, you know, you was like, you, when you went into, you know, broadcasting, you were like, yeah, you know, I'm going to be a, you know, radio show guy. Yay.
Yeah.
Me, I just kind of, Mom, what are these cameras? Oh, you're doing a show. Deal with it.
What?
Okay.
Wow.
I think of Jack when I picture him going in the club now at age 16 and everyone kissing his ass, like the little boy from the episode of The Twilight Zone who was wishing people into the cornfield. Hmm. Remember that episode?
Mm-hmm,
Drew,
mm-hmm.
Please tell me you remember that episode.
I do remember it.
Everyone would like get it. This kid had this power, and he turned people into jack-in-the-boxes and wish them into the cornfield and stuff, and everyone's like, oh, that's a real nice hat you got there. Some real nice. The whole town kissed his ass. He was a couple years younger than Jack, but I think it's a modern-day version of that. It's a good position you're in, Jack. And women, do they present themselves?
Present.
They do, and they kind of, they pull the, you know, I'm pretending to not know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Which one, it's great because you can completely, you know, screw with them. You know, my personal classic line is, yeah, I wrote a hit play.
Yeah, so they, you know what they want, but to see, yeah. That's good, that's fine. Don't hold that against them.
He's not as superficial as you are, Adam, see? He wants real relationships. He doesn't want relationships built on nonsense.
But what I'm saying is
I don't think of that.
No, he wants them built on around sex and nonsense.
No, I didn't mean that part. I mean that he doesn't want the, okay, Mr. Osborne, whatever you say, sir, which you just thrive on.
Well, yeah, but it's Corolla.
Of course. Master Corolla.
Be confusing.
I beg your pardon, Master Corolla.
Yes, thank you. Noah?
Yeah.
You're 25?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, I had a question. Probably like 75-80% of the time after I like whack off or have sex, basically any time I ejaculate, I feel the need to take a dump. And
good
times. Wondering,
right.
Yeah, I was wondering what that was.
What is that, Drew? A little prostate stimulation?
I'm wondering
or
if
something?
There's some sort of colic stimulation, I would think, with all that. But can't you control yourself?
Have a watch,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Shiza?
I'm just saying, I feel the need to, and I don't know, like my bowels. I'm thinking it's like something to do with my prostate or something.
That's
I don't
what
know.
I'm saying, that
like,
there's sort of a relaxation that goes on there, that maybe things kind of move down and give you the urge.
Yeah,
but also, you know, your body has a certain time to it. I mean, which is. Some people get up in the morning, have a cup of coffee, take a crap, go to work. You know, I mean,
so
that's where your timing is.
Wait, so you're saying
you may beat off every night
before you have a bowel movement
at 11 o'clock, and that may be your bowel movement time.
Or maybe he learned this sitting on the can, just did that as part of his whole bathroom ritual.
It happens at different times of the day, though.
So interesting.
Sometimes it's not during my regular bowel movements.
I see.
You know, you could use this to your advantage because you could. do this whole cool nifty experiment where you could kind of just release all at once while you're sitting on the toilet.
Do both.
Just,
I see.
Yeah,
yes.
You know, it
see could which
be,
wins.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of these discussions. We end with the butt plug and we start out with.
Yeah. They call that a Chinese fire drill where I'm from, where the semen flies out,
yes.
the Duke comes out the
very
back.
Very nice.
You blow a snot rocket,
yeah.
Hawk a loogie.
And we'll call it the man show.
And try to pull some wax out of my ear all at the same time. Drew, you couldn't have semen come out and have bowel movement
come out. It'd be
pretty
tough because there's constriction of the muscles down there around the anus. So.
I'm going to try that.
You're going to try?
Yeah. I'll tell you, I could have pulled that off today, Drew, because I'm such a retard. As you know, I decided after going to Jack LaLanne's house, I went to Jack LaLanne, you don't even know what Jack LaLanne is. Jack LaLanne is this guy, he's like 90 years old now, and he was the fitness guru, like in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s.
Really in the 60s, that TV show.
Well, he started in the 30s, and we would like, everybody over 30 has probably seen this guy's TV show, his exercising.
He wore a blue jumpsuit.
And he would pull these, he would do these things for his birthday, like on his 70th birthday, where he'd tug 15 rowboats with 100 kids in it across the bay to Alcatraz and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, I went to his house. He was telling me about juicing. And I decided this juicing, this is a way of life that I got to get into,
because,
too.
Because look what it's done for Jack LaLanne.
Look at Jack. He's 9 years old. He still gets a boner. I'm going to start juicing. So I buy a juicer, but I decide that the opening on the juicer is not big enough for me. Because instead, I don't want to chop up every apple I put in there into quarters and eighths. I want to put whole apples in there. So I take a router and I route a big opening in the top of the thing. And I put a piece of 4-inch PVC pipe into the opening and then make a new ram. But it screws the thing up because the whole apples are landing on the wing nut that holds the blade down and not working right. Anyway, I don't work out my juice modifications for weeks. Meanwhile, I buy a whole sack of apples that's rotting away.
Yeah.
So this morning I get up and I say, you know what? These apples are going to go bad in another day.
Yeah.
And I got like 18 to 25 apples here. Today's the juicing day.
You're going to make it
happen. I get the thing out. I go down to the shop. I start grinding away on stuff. I make the proper modifications. And I juice like 23 apples.
Wow.
And I have like a half gallon of fresh pressed apple juice. And I proceed to chug the entire thing.
Wow.
And as the thing's spilling out, I'm drinking. And it's like a crazy scene from like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory or something. Like Willy Wonka. I'm going nuts. I'm
Augustus
chugging.
Augustus Gloop at the Chocolate River.
You and sound like my dad now. Like something he would do.
It was very passionate, the whole thing. So I basically ate the juice of like 23 green apples in about, about 6 minutes. I'm driving into work. I head up the stairs. I go to my office, sit down. I'm like, what's going on down there? I feel like gurgling and stuff. I go up in the bathroom. It's just like 28 apples come flying out of my ass. And they're like whole apples, which is the part I couldn't figure out. But
you're reformed in your rectum.
It's so goddamn loud that I'm running the sink because there's all these good-looking chick secretaries hanging around. I'm just like, I do the courtesy flush, and I think it's over. It's like a whole second wind comes flying in there.
Wipe off all the surfaces.
Oh, my God. My God. What am I thinking? Apple. Fresh pressed apples. Everyone, clear you right out, man. Yeah. Idiot. So I juiced $80 worth of apples this morning, and I crapped out like $79.46 worth of diarrhea. It's great. I'm sure I got zero nutritional value out of the entire experience.
Oh, my God.
Apples, apples more than I think carrot juice or orange or whatever really somehow just power through you.
Fruit will get you. Dried fruit will do that.
Yeah.
You know, you take large volumes of fruit, it's happening.
Well, what about, you think
apples
23 least, apples is a
apples
lot?
At least has got pectin in it. That's from what kale pectate is made from.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, it all came flying out of me.
It didn't make any. It was overwhelmed by the rest of the fruit.
Yeah. All right. So don't do that, Jay. You're not into juicing. I mean, it's a lifestyle for me.
Yeah. My dad tried to get me into it when I was younger, and once the apple just didn't look like, you know, the Martinelli's.
You know, I couldn't see through it.
I think
of Jack LaLanne. I think of Ozzy Osbourne. And the same thought bubble. The same.
Yeah.
Same guy.
Yeah. Well, Jack Osbourne.
Yeah.
Jack LaLanne. Crimson?
Hello.
You're 14?
Yeah. Hey, I just have a couple of questions to you. First of all, Jack, I just want to say you're so freaking hot. It's not even funny.
Oh, he's dreaming. Hey,
thank you.
Ow! No, and the second question is for Dr. Drew.
Mm. Yeah, I was so hot, too. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jack.
Okay, all right, well, my dad went to the doctors, you know.
Yeah.
And they haven't yet diagnosed him, but we took him to one before, and they said that he had manic depressive.
Okay.
And he was also schizophrenic and bipolar.
Well, bipolar manic depressive is the same thing.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
And schizophrenia is pretty hard to diagnose to make if they've got bipolarity, so.
But, like, I'm not allowed to see him anymore because he freaked out, you know? Oh, and he, like, took my door off the hinges.
Oh, no.
And, like, he started, like, he threw it at me and, like, just, I don't know, beat me
up. Threw the door at you?
But
yeah, he just, like, sort of ripped it off the hinges.
Why don't we pick up and get back from break here?
Crimson, we got to take a little break, all right?
Okay.
So just relax, okay?
All right.
Now, let me be clear. When he took the door off the hinges, he didn't pop the pins and take it off. He kicked it down, right?
Yeah, he just kicked it down and threw it at me. It was really, like, scary.
That's traumatic. All right, let's take a little break. Jack Osborne is here. We'll get back with Crimson and her sick dad after this. Love Line, fast-growing outlaw radio, North America. Yeah, I'll tell you, we got a kid in here. This kid's hot, hot, hot. Jack Osborne coming in here with the Osbornes. I'll tell you what, man. This kid's got it going on. You know what I'm saying there, Drew?
Going on.
See, he ruined it. We were doing radio for a second there. Then you had to open your mouth.
You didn't mention dropping trow, though.
I'll tell you, man, this goes to dropping trow. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's FM radio, man. Jack is here. I didn't really ask Jack if he was plugging anything other than the Osbornes.
Actually.
Yes.
Now that you get onto plugging, a band that I signed is playing a Tau Records show on August 7th at the Tau Records at Woodland Hills, I think.
All right. Write that down. August 7th.
Yeah.
And what time? And what's the name of the band?
Delusion.
And they're... Oh, yeah. We had... Let's see. Who do we have on there? Let me
Rob
check this.
From...
Linkin Park was in here talking about that a couple of days back. So, the Promising, you saw him where? At the Whiskey or something?
First time I ever saw him, I saw him play the Whiskey ages ago, and I've been... I got them on a development deal, and they're just finally recording their main demo for us, and it's looking, you know, promising for them, so...
Where, if people want to get information about this other than this show,
they can go to delusion.com
and find out about the band, hear something maybe.
Exactly.
Is CD out?
They have a song on the Osborne soundtrack.
Oh, right. And is it they're going to come out with a full length?
Yeah, they're probably going to come out with an EP first.
Now, when you sign a band. And then the band goes into the studio. Do you go in the studio, too?
No, I mean, I'll go in just to, you know, either just going in just to check up on things and stuff. I mean, I don't have to be there all the time, but, you know, it's, you know, good just to go in.
Does your dad give you advice on this stuff?
Your dad doesn't really give me advice on stuff. Mom is more the advice.
That's interesting.
Giver.
Does your dad discourage you?
No, dad doesn't discourage at all. Dad just, you know... doesn't like the business part of things, so he's just kind of like he hates it, so
he doesn't give you pearls of wisdom. Well, your mom is more on the business end of it anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So she would probably the one who's
but then again, when it comes down to recording stuff, you know, knowing about, you know, how to do this and that, I mean, dad knows, you know. Ask him about that.
And will your dad, like, let's say there's a producer you want to work with the band. Mm-hmm. Will your dad pick up the phone and...
No, I mean, I'm sure if I asked him, but I don't really. I mean, I think, I would never do this, but, you know, if it came to it, I'd just ask my mom to do it.
And she'd pick up the phone and get somebody who she liked or had worked with or had produced
from
your dad's house?
I always ask her for recommendations for stuff like that. I mean, like, in certain situations, like, who do you recommend for this? And
I'm interested about your mom's illness again. Is she sick during her chemo?
She got a little bit sick yesterday.
Is she weak and tired?
It's her first week. They said symptoms won't get really bad, like won't get really bad, but she won't stop feeling it until like the third week.
Mm-hmm. And so. Is your sister dealing with this okay?
Kelly,
or both sisters really?
Yeah, I mean Kelly, you know, Kelly was a little, you know, shaken up about it.
Do you guys talk about it? Is it?
Yeah, I do, but Kelly's in Mount Albert Mole Hill with her, but you know, it's just her character.
Well, I mean, there's not much more of a mountain to be made. Yeah, serious illness. Like
yeah,
that. I mean,
but she, you know, she was rough at first, but she's, you know, she's understanding it, and the more she speaks to the doctors, you know.
How's your dad with it?
Dad's neurotic as anything. He's like, if you cough near mom, he's like, whoa, easy. You know?
Really?
Yeah.
That's sweet. See, that's why the show works.
Yeah, yeah.
You got Dad over there. He says that everyone thinks of him as sort of some sort of a Satan worshiper, but it turns out he's sort of the nurturer of the family.
You know, I'm flashing on a memory with your dad. The first time I met him was about 10 years ago. It was on this program.
Mm-hmm.
And Drew was
playing bass for Uriah Heep, and I think you guys opened for them. Or were you in Crocus then?
Humble Pie.
Oh, Humble Pie. That's right. That's right. That was Cal Jam. That was 80. That was like 83.
Then Mott the Hoople.
Yeah.
So, and he said his depression was really getting him then.
Yeah.
And he said to me, you know, you can't imagine how bad this is. He said, the only thing I want to do in life is be able to go fishing with my son and enjoy it.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember Drew talking about that with him. Yeah.
You know, funny enough, we probably did end up going fishing because we went on a fishing boat trip and. My mom and sisters and the nanny were like, oh, we want to come, you know. And
they ruined the whole thing.
Yeah, they were puking over the boat. You know, our nanny passed out, you know. My sister was just hanging on for dear life. And
you know what's weird about chicks? They insist on doing things that are sort of guy activities. They look at it as being left out, and they look at it as a little bit of a challenge. Oh, you guys are going fishing? I can fish, too. I'm coming, too.
Yeah.
Guys never do that with chicks.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you want to build a bear? Go.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah, you want to go do some chick-related thing? We couldn't be happier that you're going to do it. Take an extra day. If you want to stay the weekend,
but that's
fine.
Why you got to plan fishing trips when they're going to do the girly thing.
That's right.
You are the weakest thing. Goodbye.
That's Pops. All right, let's talk to Crimson again. She's 14, and speaking of dads, her dad's a little bit out of control.
He's bipolar. What? Is he a drug addict?
No. All right. Mm-hmm. He, I don't really know what his whole thing is, you know, because he's just, like, a total, like, fruitcake from, like, Louisiana, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, I guess, I don't know why my mother married him, because he was, like, a total nut from the start. But, I guess he totally freaked out on my mom, and that's why they got divorced, because he hit me when I was 3 years old, and that was it. She just, I guess, left him. And then we moved to Massachusetts to run away because he, you know, threatened to hurt my mom and threatened to kill us. So we just, like, ran away.
What's the question
now? Back, and now he's doing it again.
He's not doing drugs, though. No speed or cocaine, huh?
No.
Hmm.
All right. Can you, so are you currently living with him?
No, I'm living with my mother.
Okay.
What's the question?
My question is this hereditary?
Bipolarity does run in families, but this is something more than just bipolarity, okay?
Well, I was just wondering, because my brother, just like my dad would wake up in his sleep, you know, screaming.
Yeah.
Right? And he'd think that I was his mother, and that's why he'd come after me.
Oh, boy.
And, like, he'd start yelling at me, like, in some foreign language, and I don't know.
Yeah, but your dad, I mean, listen, being around that kind of traumatizing influence gets transmitted then to the kids, right? And so waking up in the middle of the night in a terror is a symptom of having been in a highly traumatizing environment, having night terrors. So your brother is just expressing, it's not necessarily his biological constitution so much as how awful it is to be around that kind of constant
trauma.
All right,
so Crimson, you stay with your mom, stay away from your dad, and then you do well in school and go far, far away to some lesbian college and never go back. That's got to be your plan.
Are all in the vicinity there.
And invest in a gun.
Yes. Yeah. True. That's you went to college in that area,
that's
right?
That's right.
In Boston?
About 80 miles west, yeah.
All right. A lot of lesbian colleges there? Fine. And if you're a straight chick who's hot, you're the belle of the ball. They're all trying to get you. right?
And with the name Crimson, you're in.
Yeah, although Crimson, chicks may think you're on your period, it may repel them.
You're likely to have post-traumatic stress disorder, some form of that, with all you've been through. And just hearing you sort of, you were sort of hyperventilating and you were getting upset just thinking about these experiences. And go look into getting that treated, because that's really going to trouble you if you don't.
All right, let's talk to, got another dad call here.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah,
different.
That's all right.
Or just how about this one?
Yeah, let's talk to Lita. Lita, 13?
Hi.
Your dad walked in on you when you were naked on top of your boyfriend?
Yeah. Well, like, he's kind of my boyfriend. We're not, like, officially together or whatever.
How old is he?
Worse.
He's 13.
13.
Son
yeah.
of a bitch. And you were completely naked?
Almost. I had my bra on.
Oh. No panties?
No.
Nope.
Oh, that's an interesting
cyanide capsule.
That's one of those good news, bad news for pops. Good news is, bra was still on. Bad news, nothing else.
Yeah.
Wow. And you're on top of him?
Yeah.
Was he naked?
Yeah.
He was lying on the bed and you were on top of him?
Yeah.
You know, props to the kid, though.
Yeah, 13. I don't know why the bra, why do you keep the bra on, though?
Oh.
Kids today are so, they're so brazen. They go right past the bra into the panties. I used to struggle with that bra for like 45 minutes. I'd be chewing on it and getting, I'd get lineman dykes. I'd go out to the shed and get stuff from the garden to try to get the bra. Now the guys are right to the panties.
They don't bother with that old fashioned
stuff. Yeah, it's
stuff.
Like it's novel. Boobs, please, you're boring me. Wow, so this guy's not even your boyfriend. You're 13 and you're naked and you're on top of him.
Yeah. What did your dad do?
Okay, well, like, the thing is, he was pretty cool about it. Like, I thought he was going to totally flip when I saw him walking through the door. But he was just talking to us and, like, saying how he would prefer if, like, I would wait till I was in a really serious relationship until I got sexually active with anyone.
Wait, I understand. Wait a minute. He, like, set up a little tea and said, honey, I'd like to come talk with you about this. I mean,
yeah, at least it's better than him taking the kid out back and beating him up, the boy. Yeah.
Because, like, the guy, his name is Patrick, he tried to walk out. And my dad was like, where are you going? Oh. So he, like, sat us down and was talking to us and stuff.
Wow.
Wow. Very mature.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what else can you do?
How did you react to all that? Did this sort of cause you to reconsider your choices, or just you're going to try again?
Well, see, that's what I was calling about. Because I talked to Patrick tonight, and he was like, yeah, I want to hang out with you tomorrow.
Yeah, no kidding.
And, like, I know what he's thinking.
Right. Just because he wants to do that and is thinking that doesn't mean you have to do that.
Yeah, but see, like, I want to and everything.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean you have to do it.
What if your dad didn't come home? What do you think you would have ended up doing with Patrick?
Well, before my dad came home, we were going to have sex.
You were?
Yes.
And you decided this at the ripe old age of 13 with this guy that's not even your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
All right. Well, until you figure that part out, maybe I'll just hold off on the decision making.
Well, yeah. But, like, my question is, yeah. I know I'm not going to do anything tomorrow, but I don't know how. I don't, like, know how to tell him that without sounding. Like, or letting him down, you know?
Just don't hang out with him.
Why are you worrying about letting him down?
Yeah, don't worry about him.
Why are you worrying about letting him down? Why is that your concern?
I don't know.
He's going to be fine. He will not be let down. And if he doesn't hang with you because you won't do exactly what he wants with a very important decision in your life, he ain't worth hanging out with. And don't be alone with him. Be in public places. Go out somewhere.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Right. Look at your dad as your guardian angel that kept your virginity for another few hours, maybe even days.
Did what dad said affect you at all?
Yeah. Well, like, I don't know. I wasn't thinking in the actual moment. And after that, I was sitting there. Like, even if my dad hadn't said what he had said to me and everything, I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, my gosh, what was... Like, why would I even want to do that with him? I don't even barely know him.
All right, good. There you go.
Stay with that.
And don't, look, if he's into you, he's into you. Don't worry about him not being into you because you won't put out.
Yeah, he's being let down. Let down. Just Adam. Just imagine you'd had that experience by the age of 17. Just had that one experience that 13-year-old just had.
Yeah.
Is there anything she could do to let you down now?
No, I'd still be paying her, probably.
Right, exactly.
You know what the weird thing is? When girls are all like, when anyone's all like in a rush to lose their virginity, they don't get, when they're on their deathbed, they're going to remember, that was guy, or, you know, I lost my virginity to that girl or that guy. And you don't think about if it's a good or bad thing.
No.
You know, you just go like, oh, wow, naked dude, let me jump on that.
Well, it's a little different because guys are in a hurry to get rid of the virginity thing. They are. And they don't really think that much about it afterwards, do they?
No. No, I mean, here's the thing.
Women, it tends to be a bigger event.
Yeah.
And are you a virgin, Jack, when we ask that?
No, I'm not.
Oh, good man. Good man there. Hey, high five.
Yeah. You're supposed to know those things already, just judging by his voice.
Jack's tough because he's got that sort of pseudo-British thing going on. It's hard to get a read on whether the guy's a virgin or not. Usually I can tell by the tone of a man's voice, but Jack,
well,
Jack's
yeah.
an anomaly.
Oh, there he is.
In Louisiana this one time.
Yeah, out on the road. Truck stop. Wait,
do your folks have those kinds of talks with you?
Dad does, and I feel like the longest time I was really kind of... He'd bring it up, and I was kind of sketching it because they didn't know I was, you know, at the time.
How old were you when he first started bringing it up?
15, 14.
Pretty much later, yeah.
Yeah, and I was just kind of like, and then he asked me a couple months ago, just flat out, and I just like, was like, yeah.
You're not a virgin.
No.
And what did he say?
So he was just like, okay, you know, just as long as you're keeping it safe.
But your mom wasn't trying to talk to you about this stuff.
No, but funnily enough, one morning a couple of weeks ago, I was lying in bed, and she came to wake me up, and she sat on my bed and, like, laid down. I was just kind of passed out.
Oh, scary morning.
And she goes, you know, your eyes are closed, but you kind of, you know what's going on. So she's like, Jack, are you having sex? And I was like, you ever heard of, I was just sleeping. I was like, you know that saying, there's no such thing as a stupid question. She's like, yeah. I said, well, that was just a stupid question.
She got the point.
So you shut her down.
Yeah.
But so you've never had that talk with her? About?
Yeah, but I mean, my mom, we joke around about it. It's nothing that she's like, now, Jack, you know. I mean, the only thing she ever tells me is like completely, you know, never disrespect women.
That's good enough. Do they ever give you the drugs? Talk other than Jad going, look at me.
Oh, they gave the drug talk.
I hear that you want to screw yourself up, look at me kind of talk.
No, right, Dad actually on the way over here, Dad's like, were you smoking pot in the house? I was like, no, why? And he's like, because I went in your room and it kind of smelled like pot. And I was like, no.
Yeah.
Which I wasn't.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Lucky coincidence.
Okay, sure. Yeah, okay.
Drew, if your daughter at age 13 was naked on top of a guy.
Cyanide pill.
You would just keep it in your cheek and bite down on it.
I would keep my cheek, and that is the time I would bite down.
But
right
there. Wouldn't you just? I'm trying to figure out. Here's what I would do. I would take a kitty litter box, and I would cut two leg holes in it, and I would pull it up to her waist, and then I would fill it with a Portland cement until dry. But I would put a piece of bamboo in it so there was a hole. So I would form a hole.
How about the rectum?
Oh.
We'll just do it.
I got to work that out. Maybe a piece of three-quarter ABS pipe
or something. Yeah.
Whatever I put in my juicer, I think would be sufficient enough. Yeah. But it can't be wide enough for a penis to get through, because a guy could make that.
Yes. Just make it long.
Yeah.
Maybe wide, just long.
Oh, make it long, and I would serrate the end of it so it had a sharp, had like a crown on it.
No. Hide spikes on the inside, pull nails through.
Yeah, those things they use so pigeons don't rest on top of billboards.
Spinning.
Spinning propeller. It'd be solar powered, so it only worked during the day, and I'd hook her up to a charger at night.
It's got like battle bots.
Excellent.
Much better now.
I don't need
the cyanide pill anymore.
That's right, Drew. You just tell me when it's time, and that's when I come over with my kitty box with my sack of Portland cement.
Never
we work
too,
it out.
Never too early.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. And for your daughter, I'll tell you what, at no extra charge, I'll throw in some number 4 rebar just in case there's an earthquake. I don't want the thing breaking up.
No. Oh, God bless you.
And then later on, I'll sink some J-bolts in the top so we can build onto it.
Yes.
I'll actually build a condo around her torso so she'll never have to move out.
Well, we need something that keeps the mouth away from...
That's what I did.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, and I'll put a sliding window on it, but we'll put bars on it like it's in a bad neighborhood.
There you go. Get one of those, like, those retainers that have, like, so you can't suck your thumb and you can't put, you know, your thumb in there.
Oh,
you get one of those put
in. Thank you.
Seems less practical than my human condo idea, Jack, but I'll research it. You believe this kid with a retainer?
How dare you.
Crazy. All right, let's talk to Sarah, who's 16. Sarah?
Hi, guys.
What's up?
Nothing. Well, a lot, yeah.
All right.
I was with this guy. I don't know if I still am or not, but he was 26, and I met him on the internet, and I met him. And, you know, when you're in love, it comes from both sides and stuff.
No.
It doesn't?
No.
What do you mean it comes from both sides? I mean,
you both feel something.
Well, you know, if you're in a relationship and two people love each other, you know you both feel it, and...
No.
Not with a 26-year-old guy you met on the internet when you're 16.
I've met him in person a few times.
Yeah, but guys have guys will make you believe anything they want you to believe.
But you met him on the internet, yes?
Yes.
Okay. So he's in love. You're in love, right? You're both in love.
Yeah.
And have you consummated your love?
Consummated.
Had sex? Did he nail you?
No, like, I tried to. We messed around and made out and stuff and got real intimate and slept naked together and stuff. But I was...
Where?
You want to have sex? And he was like, no, you said you wanted to wait, so we're going to wait. I was like, are you sure? He's like, yes.
Yeah, the reason he wants to wait is he doesn't want to get arrested.
Yeah, you can get 25 years for that. Then, you know, he's going to be sleeping naked with someone, but...
Yeah, no, I even wonder if it was that. I mean, you could certainly get some time for sleeping with an underage chick who's naked anyway. This guy just sounds like a piece of work.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about this guy before on the show, Drew, which is, I understand the 26-year-old guy wants to nail 15, 16-year-old chicks. I don't condone it, but I understand biologically how that works. Scarier, the 26-year-old guy who wants to sort of play house with the 16-year-old. We're going to sleep naked. We're going to talk about love. It's, in a way, it's even more perverse. Do you agree?
I'm the one that brought up the sleeping naked part.
You did.
I'm the one that like kind of like made the first move and stuff. And
all right, but does he know? Does he know your age?
Yes, he knows everything. And I mean, like,
and you're in love. And
what's his screen name? Like Skate Stud 5 or something?
No, it's like Cool Karma.
Oh, Cool Karma.
Everyone, email this guy and kill him.
It's not a statutory rapo 5 or something?
No. Perv 12?
No, like, he's only, like, I mean, we talked about a lot of things about in our life and stuff, and his last girlfriend was 3 years ago, and I talked to his mom, and my
talked to his mom?
Well, she's living at home. What do you want? She answered the door.
I think his mom talked him out of it.
Oh, now he's out of the relationship?
I don't know. He hasn't called me for a week. He got, like, strep throat, and, like...
He got strep throat?
Yeah, and he thought he had mono, and he said I gave it to him or something, and I don't have it.
All right,
doctor,
all right.
He had a real bad case of strep throat.
All right, I have a couple questions.
Okay.
What does this guy do for a living, just because it's going to be entertaining?
Okay. First, he was a contractor, and he just got into truck driving.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Two,
how do you go from contracting to truck driving?
Don't
you
ask.
You kill someone with a nail gun.
Yeah.
And then, what about his mom? I mean... How does his mom so involved with this?
I don't know. Like, I don't know how long he's been living with his mom, but his dad died and his girlfriend broke up with him.
He's living at home. All right.
But, and, you know, it's understandable, you know, being the providing man of the family.
Sure.
He's
gonna move what a out, saint.
Like, moved to L.A. and stuff, and he wanted me to
Great. Now I got to move.
Yeah.
Sarah?
Yeah.
It's good that this guy stopped calling you.
Huh?
It's good that he stopped calling.
Very good.
And where's your dad?
My dad, I'm cool with my dad. They're divorced. They're in the same town and everything.
Do you see your dad?
Yeah, every weekend.
Did you go through a long period where you didn't see him?
Yeah, kind of. It's kind of like weird because he was
shocking
my mom.
Drew, how did you, you're Kreskin, how did you guess that?
I can't, just random, I guess.
This guy has become your daddy. Did you get along with your dad now? Oh, yes. You get along with your dad now?
Huh?
Do you get along with your dad now?
I'm fine with my dad. We're like a biker family, kind of. Not like hardcore, but we all got like Harleys and stuff. And
Harleys
and a
sold off.
I don't know why I was on the internet at all, but the only reason why I started talking to him is like he had like so much faith and stuff, and it was really cool. But
okay, but listen, are you in school?
Yeah, I'm in school.
You're doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing great.
Okay, this guy's too old for you. He drives a truck and he lives at home. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not calling you, that's good.
Chalk it up to experience. It's
that's
fine.
Right.
We made it through relatively unscathed.
That's right. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to win him back.
Do not try to contact him again. Let it go. It's not a good thing for you. It's unhealthy.
It hurts.
Yes.
Bad.
Yes, yes, sir, it hurts. But there's much healthier, better things for you out there. Don't do this.
Okay, there's a lot of stuff that hurts.
But was it, like, possible that I could have been in love with him and he could have, like, loved me?
Yes.
That happens all the time. If Drew had a nickel for every bitch he was in love with, he'd be a rich man right now, right, Drew?
Everyone, yes.
Yeah, but and see his, like, he told me all his relationships never last under 2 years.
Yeah, whatever. Don't stop thinking about it.
Well, it's
Sarah,
the problem is ladies hit puberty and then they're no good.
Mm-hmm.
They get dirty. You know what I'm saying? Okay, Sarah.
Huh?
Stop. Don't use guys as a crutch for your life, all right?
Okay.
Just go to school and go off to some lesbian college. Well, it's tough when, you know, we talk about this all the time, but a woman, especially an attractive woman who's 16, whose dad is some kind of flaky biker who abandoned the family and this and that, she can just get lost in guys. I mean, guys get into drugs. Guys sometimes get into skateboarding. Guys get into many fighting. Guys get into stuff.
They can't just make themselves available to women.
Right.
Nothing will happen.
If a woman is in bad shape emotionally and had a family that abandoned her and so on and so forth, she can just have a guy come make her feel better. And there's a guy on every corner who's willing to do that, and oftentimes an unsavory type, mm-hmm. guys. But they do the job, and they get lost in this fantasy. Mm-hmm. And it's easy, and I don't know really how to convince them not to do it. Because I would do it, too.
If you were a woman.
Yeah.
Or if you had the opportunities that women had.
Yeah, yeah. When I was 16... bored, lonely, signing bands, much like... Oh, no, wait a minute.
No,
I was beating off and crying.
Yes.
And praying for a moped. Praying
that
for
was
a moped.
Your story, right?
Yeah, that was me. That's right. I got confused for a second. If that was me and there was some 28-year-old chick who had her own ride and was kind of hot and wanted to come up and pick me up and honk the horn and we could go make out at her mom's apartment or something, I'd just be all over it.
Of course.
I'd still be doing it.
Of course.
All right. Jack Osborne, our guest tonight. We'll take ourselves a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. We're back with some more Loveline. Phone number. Oh. All right. Hey, Drew. Turn the clock right. It's like a... It's going to make me fall over.
That's MTV's fault.
Yeah, the MTV cameraman whacked the clock, and now... No.
Unacceptable.
No, that's worse, Drew. It's yeah. like it's like, remember in Batman they'd shoot those
sideways,
shots that
yeah.
were Dutch, yeah. I think they call it in the industry. Are you Jack, you learning I mean, you're on TV now, but I mean, are you becoming fascinated with the television production, that kind of stuff?
I am. I mean, you know, when you're around something so much, you just kind of, you get to kind of almost know it, so.
Right. Do you have, well, Drew never did get to know it, but do you have ideas for shows now?
Yeah, me and my friends, we have, like, ideas for, like, commercials and stuff. Like,
right.
I know my friend's, like, a director and, like, a photographer, so we kind of sit down.
If your band, who's, give me the website again.
Delusion.com.
If, like, they do a video, do you want to be part of creating it, producing it?
I'd like to, you know, I'd like to have some say in it. I wouldn't, be, you know, be the director. But, you know, yeah, it's always good to have your hand in many places.
Yeah. All right. Jeez, 16. Doesn't seem like 16. I know if I mentioned that before.
But you're comparing what you or I would have been like at 16.
True. What were you like at 16? Crazy hair, right?
Yeah.
Hair was all crazy glasses?
If you consider, you know, remember the cartoon Adam Ant? Those big power glasses he would put on?
Yeah. You had those?
You know, actually what I had was on that 70s show, the guys got the shaded.
Yeah. Oh, you had the shaded glasses? The ones that are like smoked at the top and clear at the bottom?
Right.
Calling all nerds.
Yeah.
You know, the ones I liked were the ones that would change color.
Yeah.
In the sunlight. Uh-huh. They didn't really have the technology worked out, and all the guys who would go from outside would walk into the halls, and they'd be pitch black for about the next 4 to 5 hours before they slowly got back to clear. All right, let's talk to Dave, who's on line 3. Dave?
Hey, yeah.
23. What's up,
guys? What's up? Love the show. Love talking to you guys. What's up, Jack?
Howdy.
Adam, yesterday you mentioned something about spiders. You wanted to know if any spiders ate ants or whatever.
Yes.
And telling you, no lie, there's a spider called the Corolla spider in the desert.
That eats ants?
Huh?
How does he spell Corolla?
I'm not sure exactly how it's spelled. I just watched the show on Discovery.
And it eats ants?
It eats ants.
I gotta get this thing.
It builds a tunnel underground, surrounds it with little stones, and then sneaks up on the ants and gets them.
This is what I need. What we were talking about is I have spiders in my house. You know, not more than anyone else, but I see them around. They sit on the ceiling.
I hate them.
I hate them, too. I don't like the idea of sharing my space with any living thing, especially like an arachnid. But the thing is I don't mind because people always defend animals. Oh, no, those are the good insects. No, they eat the other insects. I never seen one eating on anything. I see ants walk right past a spider. I want to see some spiders pouncing on the ants that I got in my kitchen, and then I could tolerate them. And Dave is telling us that there's the Corolla spider. I thought the Corolla spider watched T-Bone beat off.
Possibly.
Yeah, that's what it should. They should really.
You know, if you ever really want to watch it, you should. Do you watch Discovery Channel much?
Yes, yes.
I mean, I sit at home and I watch that regularly, and I just find it so amusing about how they film the little bugs.
Yeah, it's so intricate. They follow the trapdoor spider into the trap. They actually send a camera crew. I'm guessing Asians. There's no way white guys are going to fit into that, you know, it's only a quarter inch. They follow it down into its lair and everything, and then the thing comes up and eats stuff and injects. Spiders are great. They, like, inject poison into their prey, and then the poison, like, liquefies the innards of the thing, and it sucks them out. But not my spiders. My spiders are vegetarian. Like, the only... I got a bunch... My spiders wear, like, Birkenstocks and play the acoustic guitar. They're not into eating... They're not into killing other animals. They just sit up there and taunt me from my ceiling where I can't get to them. But I never see them out on patrol. I never see them doing anything.
Yeah, I was at my friend's house. It was up to Topanga, and they show me, they go, oh, we have to shoot a Goliath. And I was all right, what's this? They go to their freezer and they pull out a little plastic bag with a tarantula dead in it. And I was, and then they would go, yeah, so anyway, let's show you around. It's pitch black, it's like 12 at night, and they have like an acre and a half of land. So we're going down these trails around there with my friend Kevin, and my friend Justin goes, hey, wait, lift up your light, shine ahead of you. And it's pitch black. My friend lifts up his flashlight, and there's like a spider this big, like 3 inches away from his face. He almost walked into this giant...
Could have killed him.
Yeah.
Could have killed him. Yeah, Topanga is... Basically, it's a little canyon out here in the L.A. area, and it is filled with everything that's bad. Drunk guys asleep in the creek, ex-construction workers, every guy lives in Topanga. Yeah. Hippies and huge spiders. Maria?
Oh, my God.
You're 14. What's up?
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, Adam. Hi,
everybody.
Drew. hi, Jack.
Hi.
I had a question for Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know on your first season how you guys had Elijah Wood on?
Yes.
Well, I had a question. What's he like?
Elijah's a great guy. I saw him last night.
Wow, Maria.
Sorry.
No, he's a really, really cool, like, genuine guy who, if you know, when you know him, he's just like another, you know, like a good friend.
Do you know you're starting to meet some celebrities, I'm guessing?
Me?
No, not you, screwball. Jack. The only one you know is Jack, and you barely know him.
No, it's weird. When you're on a TV show or whatever, and when you're big, like, I know, like, celebrities come up and they start introducing themselves, and they're like, you know, you can come hang out with us now because
you're part of the family.
Yeah, and I'm just like...
Anybody good come up to you?
I met you, Drew Barrymore. I met Luke Wilson. I met, I don't know, a whole bunch of people.
But you go to places, too, where they're at.
Yeah.
Oftentimes.
Yeah.
You go to clubs, go out to Sunset, that kind of thing. That's kind of cool, though.
It's fun.
Yeah, you know, is there anybody you want to meet who you haven't been able to meet?
You know, I've got a really big thing for Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
I just saw her when Adam and I made an appear on The Man Show. And my dressing room, right next to hers. When I walked
you
out of the
son of a bitch. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, she was there.
Yeah, she's hot.
She's a small, young-looking person in real life.
But she's, like, I am just so infatuated by her. I think she's amazing.
It'd be great. It'd be great if she dated you. It'd really upset her parents, but it'd be great.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, you know.
Yeah. Young rebel rocker. Son of Satan.
with Jedi Princess.
Yeah. Oh, I can just see the tabloid headings now. Headlines. Hey, but what is she? Is she 20?
She looked, in real life, she looked 14. She
I'll really tell you, didn't she win an Academy Award when she was like 13 or something?
No, that was the girl from The Piano.
Oh, that's Anna Paquin. Was that her?
I think so, maybe.
Anderson. What did Natalie Portman... I'm talking about Anna. Natalie... What was Natalie Portman in when she was a kid? What was her
the
first
professional.
Gig? Mm. Oh, that was her.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. You see that?
No.
Totally hot.
No Oscar, though.
She's like... She was like 11 or 12.
And like shooting guns.
Yeah, and hot.
Yeah, don't say it like that in front of the cameras anyway.
It's okay for Jack, Jesus Christ, because, you know, it's Jack 16, I'm 38, and we're lusting after the same woman. That's great.
The next cut, though, has to be Jack meeting Natalie Portman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Producers MTV, you got to figure that one out.
No, I did meet her, but it was the shy, hi, no. And then, yeah. But I got to sit on her lap, and I was really proud of that.
That's pretty good.
Wow. Mm. Yeah, that's a step in the right direction. Maria?
Yeah?
You're 14?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we answer your question about Elijah Wood.
Not really.
Oh.
Well, oh, yeah, well, Elijah's a nice guy. I mean, I'm going to sit here and get, like, a poetic description of Elijah. No, he's fun. I mean,
What else do you want to know? You want to know his sign? What do you want to know?
No, not really.
All right, then listen. I'll just go off to your little team.
Come on.
Well, listen, Jack waxed on about Elijah for... 30 seconds.
She's overwhelmed.
A good guy.
She's talking to one of her heroes here with Jack.
Really?
All right, let's go.
Okay. No, I think Elijah's her hero. Jack's the conduit.
Yeah, exactly.
She's using Jack to get to Elijah.
Man. Yeah, but she was anxious to talk to Jack, too.
Okay. All right. Let's talk. No.
Want to take a break?
Let me just say hi to Jennifer and find out what she wants. Jennifer?
Hi.
You're 19?
Yes.
You're considering anal sex?
Yes.
You want to know if it's true if a guy can... hit poo when he's down there?
Yeah. It was from... We were reading something in a magazine a while ago.
Jennifer, exactly how would he avoid it?
How would I avoid it?
Not the anal sex. You could avoid that using my kitty litter of cement. My box of cement.
Corolla chastity belt.
That's right. Now with the reinforcing rebar. But Jennifer, how are you going to miss that? How are you going to miss the poo if you're...
Well, no. Well, what I read in the magazine, it was like, it's magazine Vice. Mm-hmm. And it was saying that, okay, if something goes up there, it can kind of, like, touch, like, poo that could potentially be coming out.
Yeah, how would it not do that?
Like, what do you mean, how
could it not do that? Of course it has to do that.
Like, the penis could touch poo?
How would it not?
Well, I don't know. I get it.
All right, let's put it this way, because I've heard a controversial theory about that it's actually possible. And stay with me on this.
Okay.
That if you shove your finger in your ear, you can actually hit earwax. Yes, it has happened.
Really?
It's happened.
Whoa.
It's been documented. I know. I sound like some kind of crazy charlatan.
You might get saliva.
No.
Nose.
Booger.
Oh.
Booger nose. Booger nose, Jennifer. Do you know you could do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
But are you really that bored to where you want to try anal? Is it just...
Well, no, we're just trying new things. I mean, we have sex a lot, and then we just thought we'd try something different. I mean, he kind of asked about anal sex, and I was nervous
Astroglide.
About, like, ripping.
All right, well, hold on there, Jennifer.
Yeah?
They understand if he doesn't pull out, you could get pregnant.
No, okay.
Yes, you would give birth to a Duraflame log. And hold on, screwball. She really couldn't do the poo math. She could not do that? I read an article. Oh, yes. Oh.
There's poo up there, you know.
Yeah, it's possible.
A penis could touch it.
Goo.
What does she think?
I know.
All right, we got to figure this out. And Drew, you jackass, you ate my Baby Ruth bar.
You laid it in front of me, what expect?
You're talking about poo and he's eating a Baby Ruth.
Yes, ironic. All right, Drew, you're going to have to go down to the liquor store now. We'll take a break. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Jack Osborne is our guest tonight of the Osbournes. Delusion is the name of the band.
Yes.
And they're going to be playing at a Tower Records in, like, the West Valley on the 7th of August.
Yes, I believe.
And you can go on delusion.com if you want to find out about that. And that's the band that Jack has assigned to the label. Yes, sir.
Speaking of Delusion.
Let's get back to Jennifer. So,
hi.
Jennifer.
Okay.
So, are you pre-med?
No.
No. So, you read an article in Vice magazine
right.
that said If a guy has anal sex with you, there's a chance that he may encounter some number two.
Some of the usual inhabitants of that region of the body.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I believe you guys.
Well, it takes a
great leap of faith to just believe that there might be something in there.
You've gone number two before, have you not?
Yes, I have.
That's where
you can tell where it came from.
The ugly ones do. The looking ones, no. Not the models. They don't do that.
Jennifer, you could see where it came from, or you couldn't see it, but you had a sense of where it came from, yes?
Yes, definitely. Oh, well, then I guess my next question would be, why would people want to do it?
Well, you tell us, because you were asking about it.
The three of us in here.
I said something different, but I don't know. That it's too much for me now. I don't want that to happen.
But what I want to know, what we're more curious about is...
The surprise is
the
part
how did
that
you
I'm...
talk yourself out of the... Why didn't it occur to you that that's what's there?
Well, it was... I don't know. We were talking about this with a bunch of friends, and they seemed kind of shocked, so I thought it was a valid question.
What did they think was there? Like,
well, I just thought, I guess maybe
peanut
it
butter? Marshmallows?
It kept somewhere. No, I know the
S'more.
Poop comes out
S'mores?
There. But I thought it was
baby
like
Ruth's?
Maybe kept somewhere different, and when it was time to go to the bathroom, it would come out. Like, I just didn't think there was just, it was
yeah.
like
it's
a screen.
Kept, it's kept,
there's a, yeah, I know. She figured there was like a hopper that you wore on your head that kept the fecal matter when it was ready to
press
go.
Press down on it. And
yeah, it was like one of those beer hats.
Yeah,
you see the guys wearing it. You just kept it up there and was ready to go. That's when it made its move. Jennifer.
Yes.
The Duke resides in the colon all the time.
Okay.
Right. And maybe you shouldn't hang around with these girls anymore because this is a little bit of the blind leading the blind here.
Okay.
Although you guys sound hot. I'm almost sure you're hot.
Yeah.
You guys are hot, right?
Yeah.
You gotta be.
Nothing quite like hot chicks down for anal.
Yeah.
You notice how Jack's accent sort of emerges when we start talking about the hot
chicks
on the anal side.
Like.
You want to know? You know what a good video to get that'll really show you how disturbing it is?
Oh, boy.
Okay.
You bangus Uranus.
Well, can I have a question? Have
wait,
you
let him tell the video.
Well, have any of you done it to a girl?
Negative.
Oh, negative?
Oh, oh right. Adam has. Oh, whoa. Hey, I've just learned something tonight.
And
what are you going to do?
Do you like it, or is that considered, I don't know, is that considered wrong? Like, I thought guys were supposed to enjoy, I guess, all parts of sexual things.
Well,
have you ever had sex?
Yes, I've had sex.
Because you're talking like you don't know what you're doing.
Well, no, I
two
know
different
what
issues.
I'm doing.
Yeah, she does know what you're doing. But go ahead, answer the question. Hold on, Jennifer.
What? Me?
Yeah.
I give it a 5. I was just checking it off the list.
Yeah. So it's a one-time thing?
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like something else to check off a list, to try something different.
Right. Check it off the list. But
does nuts in a vice grip, is that on your list?
Yeah.
What sledgehammer to the
crocheting
cranium?
Needle through your breast.
Yeah.
How about that? Is that on the list?
No.
Okay, Jennifer. Don't hang around with those girls.
Okay.
And if those girls are listening,
don't
I don't want them hanging around with Jennifer either. It goes
don't
both
read
ways.
Ice.
That's right. Oh, my God. All right. Let's talk to Peter. Peter?
Yeah.
17.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah, I just got a question about masturbation.
All right.
I don't know if this has ever happened to anybody else, but this is just kind of a problem that I kind of found out with me. I noticed it mostly because I went on vacation for about 2 weeks with my family a little while ago. You know, we all had to kind of stay in the same room and everything like that, so I couldn't masturbate at all.
Right.
You know, and I noticed it was like, after a while, you know, I would just be like sitting down and I like tried to change positions, stretch out and stuff like that. And there'd be like a really sharp pain in my groin area, kind of like where the prostate gland would be.
Just moving around?
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I just like changed positions and like, it felt like there would be like pressure going on there, you know. I thought maybe I had to like take a really bad piss or something like that. But
your prostate can get inflamed from delaying ejaculation. Your seminal vesicles fill up with
How many times were you good for before you went on vacation a day?
Well, you know, I can go 4 or 5 days without.
Yeah,
you know,
but what was your average?
My average? I don't know. It's just pretty much whenever I.
All right, you idiot.
Like
shut up. Goddamn kids drive me nuts. An ass full of all you. I'm trying to spend 10 minutes talking to some 17-year-old spaz about how often he beats off and I can't get a goddamn answer out of him. What does my life come to? You know, when I was doing carpentry, I may not have had any money. I may have driven a beat-up truck and had roommates, but I had my dignity.
And when you ask somebody how often they masturbated, they answered right away.
That's right. I saw the tool belt. Yeah. I saw the claw hammer. They didn't have around with me.
Of course.
I got to beg 17-year-old punks to tell me how often they beat off. Please, sir. Please give me your masturbatorial schedule. Please. My job's on the line. Well, when I get in the... How often do you beat off? Well, when the mood strikes me, I'm feeling randy. Little spaz. Who cares about your prostate? We're going to take a break. Jack Osborne is here, and we'll be right back. Well, that's it. That's it for the show. That's it for the week. I want to thank a few people. First, Jack Osborne for coming in here. And if you want to see Jack's band, you can go check out the website, delusion.com. And they're going to be in the West Valley out here in Liz on August 7th. So you can see them. And I'm guessing you can see Jack there, too.
Yes.
He will be there?
Most likely.
All right. You'll probably see Jack.
Yeah.
He's 16. He's too big to go see his own band. God damn it. All right. And, of course, the Osbournes, a new season starting up in October. I want to thank Brian for doing a great job on the phone.
No.
I want to thank... Wait a minute. Brian's the only guy who did the phones, right?
Tara,
yeah.
Call me Tara. God damn it's not here.
Yeah. She's in the Europe again. Oh, that bitch. I can't
Ann
believe
for a great week.
And producer Ann for booking big name...
No!
Big name celebrities like Jack Osborne. And, of course, the one with the magic and nimble fingers.
No.
The ladies know what I'm talking about.
No.
True. You got to get in. You got to get your other goddamn person in when I'm trying to name a person.
Make sure you don't leave people out. Go ahead. Anderson.
How does that, what is that, what goes on in that mind of yours? I'm just bringing someone up on stage. You know him all from his work. This is the man who tickles the 88. You would lean in and go, oh, what about Bob? Is that what you would do?
That's what I would do.
Okay. I want to thank Lauren.
Screw you, Drew.
Lauren, right, Drew? Doing a great job, doing a little co-producing, and Anderson, the engineer. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Doctor Who.
Who?
Yeah, saying mahalo. Novel boobs, please, you're boring me.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.